Thank you for listening to the Presbyterian Church of the Roses worship service program this morning. We are so thankful you have decided to join us today. We are the Church of the Roses at 2500 Patio Court in Santa Rosa. We are the church that has the program that feeds the Montgomery High School students a free breakfast every morning when high school is in session. We support the Boys and Girls Club across the street on Hammond Drive. And we also sponsor a lot of different programs such as the Boy Scouts and the Girl Scouts, the Council on Aging, a spiritual direction program. We have hearing aid support groups and many other activities that you can join us and become involved. We believe that the Church of the Roses is here to reach out with nurturing love to the whole community of Santa Rosa and beyond. So we hope that you will feel comfortable and welcome, not only listening to this service today, but also coming in person to our worship services on Sunday morning at 10 a.m. So God bless you, and we hope you enjoy this day.
Come my way, my truth, my life, such a way as gives us breath, such a truth as ends all strife, such a life as killeth death. Come, my light, my feast, my strength, such a light as shows a feast, such a feast as mends in length, such a strength as makes his guest. Oh, my joy, my love, my heart, such a joy as none can move, such a love as none can part, such a heart as joy.
Second scripture is Matthew 10, 29 through 31. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny, yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside your Father's care. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Holy wisdom, holy word. Thanks be to God. Good morning, everyone. My name is Suzanne Ford. My pronouns are she, her, hers. I'm really happy to be here this morning. First of all, I want to say thank you to Reverend Alloway and thank you to the Church of Roses for inviting me this morning to speak. And there I am. Thank you to Janie Spar, because without Janie, who is my hero, I certainly wouldn't be here speaking to you. Yes, I do have a really busy life, and this morning I'm really representing Trans Heartline, and Trans Heartline is a house in Marin County where we have trans people who are having surgeries in Marin County or in San Francisco and cannot afford, you know, to stay in a hotel for the month that they might be required to be here. We have a space for them and make it possible for them to come to Marin, have gender confirmation surgery, and be able to afford it. So I'm really proud to be affiliated with Trans Heartline, and that speaks to my heart. You know, this morning I wanted to find the scripture to talk to you about having faith to be who God created you to be, and I found the scripture first, and then I had a rare moment where I stopped for a second and I read the chapter and, you know, Matthew chapter 10, what's happening there is the selection of the apostles and the directions to them about how they should live. And, you know, the directions are very, I would say, different than what most people would have thought at the time about getting ready to go on a trip to talk to people about an idea or about Jesus or about redemption. And he tells them not to go all prepared, but very simple instructions. And, you know, I'm sure that the apostles must have faced a myriad of questions like, you know, how can anyone expect me to do this? So let's put a bookmark there. Let me get my story up to that point in my life. Like Reverend Alloway said, I was born in Kentucky. I was adopted at 6 months old. I hadn't been taken care of very well. And through word of mouth, a couple adopted me in Owensboro, Kentucky. And, you know, that adoption became the central story to my life for a long, long time. My adoptive father was, you know, a hard drinking, rough, abusive father. And him and my mother were together because my mother had some issues and had some emotional issues. And so their marriage didn't last a long time. And it came to a violent end and they divorced and they both remarried. And then my adoptive mother had children with my stepfather. So I went between those two houses. And that was really rough on a little sweet, sensitive kid. I knew from very early age, probably around 5 years old, I knew inside that I really was a girl. I thought about it all the time. I just knew that would have been right. If I had been a girl, I would have been right. And in 1972 in Owensboro, Kentucky, that wasn't something that you were going to talk about with a rough, masculine, blue-collar father. Or, you know, my family wasn't educated. There was no one in my family that knew of a bigger world where that might be an issue. And so I buried it. And I became the boy's boy. I was the boy that picked teams. I was a high school athlete. I played basketball from the time you could dribble a ball. I had a ball in my hand. I was a baseball player. I played all sports and excelled at it and became the boy, and all the time carrying around that secret. And, you know, that adoption, I was angry at God. I was raised Catholic. My conversations with God was, I was so mad at him. Why did he let these people have me? You know, why would you let this happen to me? And, you know, that's not a great way to go through life. And it led to some ups and downs. I was a heavy user of drugs and alcohol. I would almost get to success and then royally blow it up. And that became my pattern for many years. I was married and had two daughters and had got to law school and lost everything again. At 35 years old, I was homeless, wound up in a state hospital, and was treated for alcohol and drug addiction and bipolar disorder. I got sober at 36, finally, and I celebrated 20 years of sobriety. New Year's Eve was I haven't had a drink since, in 20 years, New Year's Eve. And it's funny, like I wasn't arrested anymore for any alcohol related. I was never arrested for anything violent, but I got in trouble all the time drinking and never have been arrested again. And my mental health is good. And I was remarried to a beautiful woman, Beverly Ford, who's probably on this call, I think. We had a son, Daniel. When I got sober in association with the church in Louisville, Kentucky. They were an evangelical church, and I was a point in my life where I turned my will and my life over to the care of God. And they were part of that plan for me. And then, we were offered, I was offered a job out in California. The minister and his family, who I were like my parents, had already moved out here to Novato. And so that's how we ended up in Novato. What a redemptive story. My life had been turned around. I was respected in church. We fed the homeless at my church, and my family, we were in charge of the warming shelter program. We were doing what I thought was God's work. We had a study group, a Bible study group that met at our house, and, you know, everything on the outside looked perfect. You know, anytime in all those years, anytime my gender came up, I just know, I know, we're not gonna, you know, that's insane. And so at 46, I've been sober 10 years. I had the job I have now. Like I said, on the outside, everything looked great. But that gender question started to come up more and more. And so that's where, and please, I'm not comparing myself to the apostles, but I had a similar process going on with God. My conversation with God was like, no, God, I can't be a girl. And then I'd be like, I'm a girl. And that voice was getting louder and louder. And, you know, I would lose everybody's respect. My church is an evangelical church. I'm a liberal, but they're not. And I'm going to lose the respect of every, I'm going to lose my minister, who's like my dad. I'll get banished. My parents will be ashamed of me. My wife, she knows nothing about this. She's going to leave me. What will this do to my son? My job. I work in a really male company over in Sacramento, and packaging industry is not a diverse industry. You know, how could, that's impossible. God's not big enough for that. You know, that's ludicrous. And I suspect that maybe the apostles, and the stories of the different jobs of the apostles, but can you imagine Jesus is calling them to come with him to spread the word through Israel? And can you imagine them thinking, why me? I can't do this. I'm going to lose. Everybody's going to think I'm insane to follow this guy. I mean, my parents, what would they think of me? All the plans I've made. And, you know, I can imagine it must have been insane. And, you know, it seems, according to the story that I know, that they willingly said yes and followed Jesus. I wish I could say that about me, because it's not true. I was paralyzed by it. It just came out in not so many great ways, but finally I my wife asked me in a very direct conversation, did I want to be a woman? And at the time, the most honest thing that came out of my mouth was sometimes. And then we didn't talk for a long time. That we just sat there with that announcement. And it started a process that took, maybe a year and a half before I came out publicly and started my transition. And, you know, some of those things did happen. My church in Novato did ask me not to come back. They didn't think the children should see me the way you see me today. That was their reasoning. So our family all of a sudden lost our church, and the minister and his family do not speak to us anymore. We lost them from our life. And, you know, my wife and I, wow, what a difficult journey. You know, how could you ask that out of your wife? But, you know, something happened in the middle of all of it. I just did the next thing, the next right step, and I admitted who I was and what I was. And this beautiful, messy life got put back together in a wonderful way that I could have never imagined, right? I mean, that's who God made me to be, and I knew it from a young age. And God didn't make me transgender. It wasn't a mistake. It wasn't, he didn't do that to me to leave me. And he certainly hasn't. My wife and I, our relationship doesn't look the same as it did, but it's beautiful in a lot of different ways that it wasn't before. My son, you know, I'd been hard on my son because I was projecting. My son was this sensitive kid who loved to sing, wasn't an athlete at all. And I was hard on him when I was raising him. I was preparing him for boys because I'd always been scared of other boys and men. Like if they really knew who I was, they were going to hurt me. And so I had to make sure that they didn't know. And I was raising him like that. And after I came out one day, he looked at me and said, you know, if you get to be you, I get to be me. And so that training, that toughening him up stopped. That seeing him for who he was and realizing that he was on his own journey and God had him, and my fears for him were my fears and they weren't his. He celebrates who he is every day. And my life, like we had helped people in my life in AA. I'm in AA and I had mentored people, but now I mentor young trans people. I mentor parents of trans people. I speak to groups. I speak to more people. I get the opportunity to touch more lives than I ever did in my prior life. And I couldn't see that. You know, every time I talk in front of people about this subject, I always remind myself that I've been waiting my whole life to do this. And to do this work, and what a privilege it is, you know. Once you've really stood up in front of the world and said what you are, and who you are, and you're not walking around afraid anymore of what they know about you, that's a certain amount of freedom. And I know it's not as big in everyone's life, or it doesn't seem, you know. I know that it's different for everyone, but if you really are living your authentic life and being who you were meant to be, that's so powerful. And it's attractive to people. People wonder, like, how could you do that? Well, I really didn't do it. God dragged me kicking and screaming, and then he did it. And yeah, today, my son is at Cal Poly. My wife and I bought a house up in Washington. She's here from Southern Washington. We bought a house on an island in the middle of a lake in front of Mount St. Helens. That I don't know how we got that house, but we did. Our life looks nothing like we thought. And yeah, I'm overjoyed about where we are. And it's difficult and it's messy and I don't have all the right answers. But I do think sometimes, you know, before I transitioned, everybody around my table looked like us. They were white, straight people, you know? And now around our table, this sweet group of, there's some white, straight people left, but there's a lot of young queer people. There's people of color. We're living, you know, we have people at our table that I feel like Jesus would want to drop by and be with those people. They're beautiful. They're messy and beautiful, just like us. And I guess that's, you know, the last thing, you know, how do we have faith to be who God meant us to be? I don't know. I don't know how to automatically do it, but I know when God has drugged me kicking and screaming to what I was supposed to be, on the other side was this beautiful life that I couldn't imagine. And I didn't think God was big enough. Like, God can't fix this problem. So I wish, like, the next time that this happens, I would just be able to willingly accept what God has next. I doubt it. I'll probably be drugged, kicking and screaming the next time. But yeah, so it's great to be with you. I'm going to do the breakout groups, and I just want to, you know, if you have any questions or whatever you'd like to talk about, it'd be great. But I'm really grateful to be here this morning, and love to everybody. Thank you.
You are. Thank you for listening to the Presbyterian Church of the Roses radio program this morning. We encourage you to go to our website at www.churchoftheroses.org and donate. We'd love to have your help keeping our roses blooming and all of our outreach programs growing. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now and forevermore. Amen.